Okay, and if anybody out there is from Iowa, check in with me if you know the story, of course, of the trench-coated people hanging around at night. It's very strange indeed. I'll be back in a moment. We'll continue with your open line calls this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Let's go right back to the phones. Let's go to Kima, Texas. Carmen's with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Carmen.
Hi, George. Next time it's Tommy's birthday, I want to do my imitation of the actress that sang it to the president.
Marilyn Monroe.
Yes.
Can you do that?
Yes.
Well, why don't you give him a little preview? His birthday was March 16th.
A belated happy birthday, Tom.
Tommy, here's a little song for you from Carmen. Go ahead, Carmen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tom. Happy birthday to you.
I like that. He'll like that. He'll be on in just a second. He'll thank you for
that.
Can I
tell you the reason why I called?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. My mother was telling me in her electric bill, she lives in California, that she has been warned that there is going to be a blackout for 14 days because of the overstressed power grid. And it was very emphatic. I told her, I said, well, you know, please, you know, tell me more. And she's saying, well, that's all it says. So sometime during the summer, they're saying, it's supposed to be down for 14 days. Well, the whole infrastructure, you're talking about hospitals, stores, everything, you know, tied up, that most certainly they don't have 14 days worth of backup generating power.
No, not at all. Now, is this going to be sporadic, or this is supposed to be continuously?
14 solid days.
Jeez.
And
is it planned, or is this?
So what I did was I did some research, and I found out that source link to the report can be found on x22report.com. Once again, that's x22report.com, and it explains the whole thing. Apparently, there is some sort of a leak with natural gas that they're telling people it's because of overstress of the power grid.
I think it's the heat, though.
They're having to fix a natural gas leak.
So exactly what region is this supposed to be in, Carmen?
It's supposed to be Southern California.
The entire area?
Yes, sir.
Like L.A.?
L.A., the whole southern region, sure.
And when?
During the summer. It doesn't specify exactly when. Apparently, they're going to follow up with information to give exact dates, but you know, I told my mother, I said, I'm getting in my truck, I'm coming over there to pick you up.
Pick you up.
She says, oh well, we're here in Leisure World, so we're all gonna help each other. And I'm going, Mother, the toilets aren't gonna flush.
Nothing will work. I'm gonna check into this. You know, it's something we've been warning about, the power grid from EMP attacks or a solar flare from the sun, and that would be even longer, but the 2 weeks. There's no way. There's no way they can make it for 2 weeks.
No.
Not there.
No. So the only thing I can think of, George, is basically, you know, under the situation the way it is, for her safety, you know, I'm probably going to have to, you know, take the information that I have and just, you know, talk to somebody with the state for adult.
All right. I'll check into that too, Carmen.
I'm taking care of my mother.
Yeah,
you know, I need
just to go and get her.
Yes, absolutely.
I haven't heard that. I'll ask Tom when he's on in a second with a text if he's heard that. I have heard that they're warning about sporadic outages because of the incredible heat that they've had. I've heard that. Let's go to Imin in Gary, Indiana. Hey, good morning to you.
Man, good morning to you. First time caller, but long time listener, George.
I'm glad you got through.
Sure.
Thank you.
You mentioned something about the time.
Going way too fast.
Yes. Well, about 3 years ago, we were in Bible class together, me and my friends. And we ran across a verse in the Bible that says, in the end of times, God will shorten time or shorten the days to save the souls, or the flesh of the believers. So that kind of got me a little bit, and I went and started digging into the meanings of what could that mean. And I came across something by Dr. Chuck Missler.
Yes, he's been on the program.
Yes, Dr. Chuck Missler states that there was tests conducted about the speed of light. The speed of light, as we know or science told us, that is a constant speed. But there were some measurements made.
And talking to are you talking on your speaker, or I'm having a little trouble hearing you?
I am in. I'm actually at work and on my cell phone.
Okay,
so I might be coming in out, in and out. But what he said is the speed of light is deteriorating. It's going slower.
Huh.
Yes, and what happens when you slow? And he puts it in another word, everything that is created has a beginning and an end, and between the beginning and the end, there's a period that is called the deterioration period. It deteriorates. And while it deteriorates, it slows down. While they measure, science measures that the speed of light is actually slowing down.
Well, but if light slows down, does that make time go faster for us?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I got to tell you, it's going by fast for us. Tom, how did you like that little Marilyn Monroe song?
Carmen, that was very, very nice.
Let me ask you, by the way, I'm in St. Louis, you're in L.A. Are they warning about outages, power outages there?
They do tell you that you can have little outages, but I don't know anything like she's saying. I just got my last bill about a week ago, and I didn't see anything in it. So I'm going to have to look at that website and do a little more homework before I can comment.
But you haven't heard anything about a two-week straight shutdown.
I don't see how they could do that.
No. You can't. You can't live.
Yeah. I just don't see that. But you know what? I'm going to go home and look at my bill now. Because, you know, sometimes they give you the little leaflets and people don't always read
right.
them.
Right. So. But, yeah, with little things like conserve power and stuff, I can understand that.
We'll see.
All right. What do we have here?
From Dory in Tennessee, I had the terrible task of buying a plot today.
Ooh.
And it got me thinking how I wanted to be remembered. So I want to ask you how you would like to be remembered.
That's an interesting thing, Doris, because I've always said on my tombstone, I would like it said, you know, with my name there and my date of birth, 1950 to whenever I go, he changed the world. He helped change the world. Something like that.
Here lies George Norrie. He helped change the world.
He helped change the world. Yeah, something like that.
Remember the Lester Moore one?
From Tombstone?
Yeah.
Here lies, you remember it. Go ahead.
Here lies Lester Moore, four slugs from a 44, no less, no more. Boot Hill.
Great movie.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's name who was in it.
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell played the part of?
Wyatt Earp. Doc Holliday.
Doc Holliday played by Val Kilmer.
Correct. Who else can I name in there?
And then they have...
Jeffrey Bean.
Jeffrey Bean.
Mm-hmm. He was...
Weren't there like brothers? They played the part of brothers.
The Earp brothers. There was the guy from Apollo 13. There was a bunch of guys, and I need my Google. But
who played Johnny Ringo?
That was Michael Biehn.
That was Michael Biehn. Yeah, he did a good job, too.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie.
Oh, I watch it like every 2 months.
When was that done?
I want to say 83.
Guess what's coming out Friday night?
What?
The new Independence Day movie.
Oh, is that here already?
And we are going to have one of the actresses in news, I think,
yes.
On that day. And that will be fun. It's supposed to be a great, entertaining movie.
The first one was.
The first one was phenomenal.
Who's the president?
In the second movie?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. It's easy for you to find out.
Google it.
IMDb or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the same guy.
Bill Pullman, right?
Yeah. He didn't. No, it wasn't Bill Pullman.
You sure?
No, that wasn't Bill Pullman, I don't think. It was somebody else. That's not Bill Pullman. Check. Let me know who was in the first one. I will. Tell me in my ear. Okay. Michael in Chesterfield, Missouri. Hey, Michael. Welcome to the program.
Well, Bill Pullman was on the first one.
Was it Bill Pullman? Was he the president?
For the first one, but yeah. I see him in the trailer bearded.
Okay.
Maybe he played an advisory role.
Yeah, that could be.
Hey, thanks for last Saturday night's great show.
You were there.
Yeah, I was sitting right next to your daughter.
Yep. What a great family I have. I'm lucky.
You sure do. And your grandchild down there, very sweet as well. It was a very nice introduction for the armed services as well. Thank you for that.
Oh, that is so emotional for me when I do that. I keep thinking of Dad and some, just things like that. But it was just great seeing how many armed force members there have been or still are in St. Louis. It was amazing.
It was amazing. It really was. But I just called to say, hey, great show. A lot of us love you in St. Louis. I'm sure there's a lot of people probably didn't.
Should we come back and again?
I think it'll just get bigger and bigger, George.
Okay, we'll do that. Thanks, Michael.
A little more time in the meet and greet line, though, okay?
That was quick. There was so many people.
There was a lot of people, and they all thoroughly enjoyed it. I know I heard smiles on faces, and you could hear people laugh in the audience at the jokes. And
that's great.
It was fun, so thanks for having us.
Okay, Michael, I appreciate your call.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Very nice of you to do that. I think we can come back to St. Louis every year. Our partners... News Talk 97.1 FM, they're great people. I think we put this one together pretty fast in a couple months. I'd love to do this and give us like a four-month leeway like we have in Asheville, by the way. Asheville, North Carolina, we've got this major event on August 27th. Great guest, Joshua P. Warren. Ironically, we're talking about power outages. William Forstgen's going to join us. And the ufologist Micah Hanks as well. And Micah has the band that will be playing there for me to sing in Asheville. But now I've got to tell you, folks, that's a small theater. And those tickets are going fast. Everything's at coasttocoastam.com in the highlight reel. But you got to come from a greater Asheville, North Carolina area because we want to pull people in from all over. So do that. Let's go to Tom in the Bronx. Welcome to the show. Hi, Tom.
Hi, George. I'd like to say years ago, I was invaded by, not by my own doing, bed bugs. And I found out that by putting Noxzema on the sheets, their mouths are on the bottom of the bug. And they eat the Noxzema, and it takes their appetites away and kills them.
Huh.
People who are suffering.
How do you do this, though, without it getting all over your feet and stuff like that?
Well, Noxzema doesn't hurt you. I mean, Noxzema is very good.
But, I mean, you, like spread it on the sheets?
I just spread it on the sheets, and when they come up, they come out, they'll eat the Noxzema.
Huh.
And they'll take it like for food, and they'll just they'll die. In other words, I knocked out hundreds of them one night.
Oh, you had 100 bed bugs?
At least.
Oh.
Unfortunately, I got invaded. They're down below me, we had individuals, and I saw these guys bringing a hound dog in.
Oh.
And the hound dog was there to sniff them out. Obviously, in the apartment down below me.
Was infested.
We were hitting this building hard.
Oh, my God.
And but anyway, anybody suffering from that out there, they should use Noxzema on them. And it's non-toxic. In other words, they can even use that, I think, on ticks. Long Island has a lot of ticks, you know.
Do you remember the old commercial for Noxzema years ago when we were younger?
I'm thinking of it. I'm trying to think of it.
I think it went, the closer you shave, the more you need Noxzema.
Right. Well, the more you need to get rid of the bugs.
Yeah, if they only knew.
Well, yeah. Well, I wrote the company and told them that. And then there was something that came out recently where they claimed that they do have that type of formula to
get rid of them?
To could kill other type of bugs.
Hundreds of bugs. Did you get bitten at all?
Yeah. Believe me, I was...
And they itch, don't they?
Oh, my God, it's horrible. It's a nightmare. I had to get rid of the bed.
Oh, my God. Fumigate the house.
You know what it is? When people have plastic furniture, plastic chairs and stuff,
yeah,
they don't get on. You never find a colony on the plastic, anything plastic or laminated wood.
It's always cloth stuff.
Yeah, it seems that way. So, in other words, I've got my house. I live in a studio apartment, which isn't that small for us. I guess this isn't too small for a studio, but it's
Tom, if
not that large.
If people only knew how many critters are crawling on them at night when they're sleeping, they could never sleep again.
Well, that's the truth. But any way to make a long story.
They go in your nose and in your mouth?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. No, they do. I think these things can go in your ears and stuff, too.
Yeah, while you're sleeping.
Yeah. I know one thing, that the Noxzema, like, they should use Noxzema, like, out in Long Island. Montauk Point is loaded with...
What is it about the bed about the Noxzema that gets them?
No, here's what it is. Their mouths are on the bottom.
On the bottom of their body, you mean?
The body. It looks like a shell on top.
Mm-hmm.
And at the bottom, they're flat. And their mouths are on the bottom. I turned them over one time. I said, oh, my God, look at that. So
they're really little, though.
They're little and hideous. And let me say this, that when... They get the Noxzema in their mouth. They eat the Noxzema.
Wait, but what is it about the Noxzema that they like, or are they forced to eat it?
That's why they just sense it's food,
huh?
And they get it in their mouths, or maybe they open their mouths unwittingly, and they get it in there, and it gives them constipation, to put it bluntly.
How do you know that? Did you ever look at a little bed bug go to the bathroom?
Yeah, right, but they give them constipation, and you can actually see the Noxzema in the body.
Jeez.
When I looked at it, I saw the Noxzema in the body, and it just kills them, that's all.
All right, that's an interesting take. You know, just I wonder what they... But you look at them, and they're small. Look at one under a microscope. They are hideous looking. I mean, they really, really are, but I can't imagine you had hundreds of them in your apartment. Yeah, that's gross. Get rid of those bugs, to be sure. And we're going to come back in a moment with more open lines for you here. Don't forget, you can always email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. Oh, and don't forget, along with paranormaldate.com, for those of you who want to be people of similar interest, there's conspiracydate.com as well. So if you're a member of paranormaldate.com, it's also free to sign up at conspiracydate.com. So go ahead and do that as well. And we're going to come back with more open lines. Those of you who have been on hold, just stay there. Don't lose your place in line. We shall be right back right here on Coast to Coast AM. I had a Donald Trump lookalike showed up at our event in St. Louis, which was kind of cool. Played by Johnny Rose. Everybody knows Johnny in St. Louis, but he had the red ball cap on and the Trump mask, and it was kind of fun. And then, in fairness, of course, to Hillary, I had to tell them we couldn't find a Hillary mask in St. Louis, or we would have balanced that out. So let's go to the phones. Carl in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Carl, thanks for holding. You're up.
Good morning, George.
Hi there.
The reason I'm calling, I have to tell you, because you and the Coast to Coast team changed my life. And you're probably thinking that's kind of a provocative thing to say, but one of your guests years ago was Lori Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
And talked about the Monroe Institute, and I went out there for a week with their residency called the Gateway Program, where they literally teach and hone your psychic skills. And I would recommend to the Coast to Coast crowd that if you've never heard of the Monroe Institute, check it out. It was a cool a very cool week.
Were you able to astral project, Carl?
Well, you know, no. But I'll tell you, there were some magical psychic moments that happened to every single person. And with that astral projection, it, you know, it's something that I think happens. You can't force it. It's, you know, it's just something. It's a skill that you can practice, and all of a sudden, you know, you can do it. And I have to one thing I wanted to say, George, is I think I wanted to share with you why I think you can do such a wonderful job that you do. And of course, you have your skill in communicating and talking, but what I think you do so wonderfully well is listen, that you can listen with empathy, and not only when you have a guest on with your questions and your listening skills, but also on a night like tonight when you have the open lines, that I think you do such a good job of listening to the people who call in. And I'm wondering if maybe you could, you know, and that's a practice skill, George, I'm sure. And I'm wondering if you could share maybe one of those skill sets that people could improve their listening.
Okay. Well, first of all, Carl, thank you for the kind words. I really appreciate that. Well, you know, it comes with trial and error. It really does. I've never been the kind of talk show host to want to constantly talk over people. I mean, sometimes we interrupt. We all do. We're human. Sometimes we talk a little too much. We all do. We're human. But by and large, a great interview is when you hear the guest more than the talk show host. And, you know, the talk show host should be a facilitator. If you end up hearing the host more than the guest, one of two things are going on. Either the talk show host has a huge ego and loves hearing their own voice, or the guest is bad and he's got to talk or she's got to talk. But I've just always learned to just, you know, listen, and that's how you develop your next questions and stuff like that. You know, a lot of people say, so how do you prep for a show? What do you do? And we get preparatory information. We get the books. We get questions from the guest or their public relations person. And we use that as a guide to help steer us in the direction that the guest wants to go. But we have our own direction, too. And either it goes different or the same as what the guest wants. But we've always done that. And so even though the guest does provide every host with questions, a great interview is done without having to worry about the questions. They're there to help steer you into certain different areas. But by and large, once you get into the guest, you chat. I thought last night the interview with William Pepper talking about Martin Luther King's assassination was just fantastic. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I know the subject matter very, very well, and it was a conversation rather than just an out-and-out interview. So maybe that's the best I can say right now on something like that. Let's go to Chris in Washington. Welcome to the show. Hey, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Hey, what's up, George?
All is well. How about you?
Everything is going really good.
Excellent. What's up?
When you said you're talking about your perception speeding up, and I had a theory on that, something just popped into my head, and I thought I'd call and try and share it with you.
And do you feel that too, though, that it's going faster?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit. And I've heard other people mention that, and it's just yeah, I definitely, I can see that.
Why do you think it's happening, or why do you think we feel that?
Well, what just popped into my head was, and this is something that kind of goes along with this universal consciousness that I am becoming more and more aware of.
Okay.
That we're all connected to.
Yep.
And the Earth is kind of basically the part where it can affect our consciousness, and it kind of has a effect on a global consciousness. Anyways, so the fact that the universes, galaxies, it's all expanding. And as it's expanding, it's increasing in speed.
And it's pulling us along with it.
And maybe that's altering our perception slightly.
Well, and you're absolutely right about us being all interconnected. I've long since said that we're in the wireless matrix, and we're all on it. You know, when you know someone well, you know, your girlfriend, your wife, your boyfriend, whatever, you're all hooked into that, and it's a wireless connection. My Aunt Shafika used to say that it is telepathy, that we're all connected that way. So, you know, you're right, Chris. You're absolutely spot on. Tom, you've got a text for us, our last one of the night. What's up?
From Janie in New Hampshire. Loved hearing about Tombstone. I was watching an old favorite of mine today. Have you guys ever watched The Rifleman? And here's my big question, George.
I sure have, with Chuck Connors.
He says, here's my big question, George. What do you think is the greatest Western of all time?
The greatest Western? TV show like Western?
I guess Western's Western, whether it's TV or...
I'd say it was Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke?
What the heck is that?
Things are going off in the studio.
Oh.
Gunsmoke,
I would think, was the best Western.
What about, do you know what the good, the bad, and the ugly is?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
He did some good ones.
Do you know the tune of the good, bad, and the ugly? That was a movie.
That was a movie.
Yeah.
Clint
Eastwood.
Yes.
He was in it, and so was that other ugly guy who was always in it, who had that funny-looking eye, you know.
The ones I don't know very well, but I guess he did a lot of them, is John Wayne. He did a lot of Westerns.
We have played in the past the bumper song from The Good, Bad, and the Ugly on the show.
See,
did you know that?
I know. I didn't recognize it if we did.
It goes, you don't even know the theme, do you?
I don't know the theme.
It goes... That's it.
I don't recognize it.
Tell Danny to see if he can get it ready. Let me know when it's ready, and we'll play a little 10
see
seconds
of it. See if we can find it.
Yeah, see if he can find it, and then just tell me my year.
Okay.
All right? Let's go to first-time caller Judson in Port Arthur, Texas. Judson, go ahead.
How you doing, George?
Good, sir. How about you?
Good. I heard a show a while back with Rosemary Galley.
Yes.
And she was dwelling on dreams and stuff, and I tried to email her the next day, and I did, but she had never heard of this, of an old Indian legend of seeing your hands in your dreams. Have you ever heard of it?
No, tell me the legend.
Well, it is, you have to be able to pick your hands out of a barrel of 50 hands. So what you're actually doing is you're controlling a dream first to be able to pull your hands up, but then you're defining reality by... searching for reality to make them your hands. You have to recognize them as your hands. And I believe this is one of the tricks that the Native American Indians were trying to get you to somehow get to a deeper level.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever remembered in a dream seeing my hands, now that I come to think of it.
Well, it's not just seeing them. You have to intentionally pull them up and look at them with the purpose of making them your hands.
Right, right.
And
I've never done that.
Well, I've never found anybody or an avenue in which I could find someone that had done it before. But years after I've done it, I was working with a girl that I didn't know was one half Cherokee. And we were sitting there one night, it was like 4 a.m, we were working for a refinery, and I asked her, I said, you know, we started talking about our ethnics, and she said she was half Indian, and she was working on a machine, and I was sitting down, and I said, well, have you ever heard of looking at your hands in your dreams? And she turned white as a ghost. She said, how do you know about that? I said, how do you know about it? And she said, well, my grandmother raised her to the age of 14, and she said every night, before they went to bed, the grandmother would come up there, and, you know, we say night, night, sleep tight, whatever. Her grandmother would say, try to see your hands in your dreams.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
I did it, and it was one of the most powerful things I've ever done in my life.
I would assume you can control your dream if you can do that.
Oh, yes, yes. I had been controlling dreams, and the trick to controlling a dream is to recognize your dreaming. And the one of the best ways is a reoccurring dream.
Yes.
And there's certain things that happen that are signals to me. The phone, you can't dial it. The gun, the bullet just falls out of it. You know, these things that go, oh, it must be a dream. And then as soon as I recognize the dream, the key then is to make it do what you want it to
do. Have you ever had a dream where you're dreaming, you wake up in real life, and then you're able to go back to sleep and get back into that dream again?
Yes. That is how I did this little Indian legend. And I used to do EEGs, and I got into the life after death.
Yeah.
I had some experiences with people that had died and been brought back, and I started researching it. And after I did this with the hands, it was very similar to the white light coming down and hitting. And it ever since that day, that night, I've had dreams that have come true, and I know when it's one. I've had four of them, and I know exactly when that dream's going to come true. And the longest it's ever been is a week before the dream came true.
I love it. Great work, Justin. Thank you so much. And before we take more calls, we've got the theme from The Good, Bad, and Ugly. Tommy, listen to this now. Here it is. Great thing. Listen. You remember it?
I do. But George, I gotta tell you, I would never have gotten that from your imitation.
My whistle was quick.
Do it again. Make it
something like that. I'm taking you down, Dan Iser. Let's go to Bonnie in Pahrump, Nevada. Hey, Bonnie, go ahead.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure thing.
Well, a couple things before I brief or go into what I was going to call about the black cape, the man in the black cape.
Yeah, in Iowa.
Yeah, you know, I haven't ever seen that, but it's funny that you mention it because a girlfriend of mine, who actually calls it on your show a lot, a girl named Miranda, she saw one in California.
Hmm.
She said, this man was 8 feet tall. And I thought, sure, you know, I didn't believe her really at the time, but she said she saw one and it walked over to one of these wrought iron fences, and this man was like 8 foot tall and took the bars and just, with no effort, pulled them apart and walked through them.
Weird.
Yeah. But the second thing, to go into what I called on the pesticide and flea thing, I've heard that lemon juice, I don't know if that's right or not, but lemon juice might work for dogs, maybe better than Noxzema. But the actual reason I called was about mattresses, actually. This guy that called that was talking about the bed bugs,
yeah.
You know, was kind of spot on for the you know, bed bug scare was a big deal, I guess, years ago. And what they did as a response to that was throwing out, you know, cotton and wool and all those kind of mattresses and replacing them with polyurethane. Well, polyurethane, the foam, feels really good as far as its comfort level. But the problem is because it's petroleum-based, it causes all kinds of health problems. And, you know, people don't realize it because it's so subtle, but petroleum goes through the skin. And it causes, I hope my phone doesn't go out. Are you still there?
Yeah. Can't you just vacuum these critters up?
Well, that's actually not the point I was going to make, okay, on this thing, because it really wasn't about the critters. What they did, yeah, they could vacuum critters up. That would be fine. But, you know, what they did was they made this polyurethane, which is terrible. It causes damage to the central nervous system. It causes all kinds of problems. But then on top of that, because these mattresses catch on fire because that's petroleum based, they made a law in 2005 saying that they have to have flame retardant chemicals on them.
That's right. People would smoke and fall asleep.
Right. Well, but they would catch on fire, and so these flame retardant chemicals, they mandated that they be put on mattresses everywhere starting in 2007 and 2005 in California, and these chemicals are arsenic and borate. So they spray them down that, and people don't know it because they're required to put them on the tags. So people are getting cancers and every kind of thing because these things go right through the skin. It doesn't matter if you have sheets and things over them. They do go up into the body, and they cause, as you can imagine, kidney failures. You know, they dry out, the borate will dry out your body to the point of kidney failure. You know, dry eye, you know, the other stuff causes every kind of cancer, as you can imagine, with arsenic in your mattress you're sleeping on. You know, you're sleeping on something that can cause you to be really, really sick.
Well, so we definitely need to do a show on these carcinogens. There's no doubt about that, especially, though, the pets. I mean, that would be very special for a lot of people. We've got a great program in store for you tomorrow, by the way. We're going to talk about the Watergate. Was it a hoax? And then we're also going to talk about Journey to the End of Time. So make sure you're part of the show. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.